Bibles with you. The reading this morning comes from Revelation chapter 2, starting from verse 1 through to verse 7. The message to the church in Ephesus. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Ephesus. This is the message from the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven gold lampstands. I know all the things you do. I have seen your hard work and your patient endurance. I know you don't tolerate evil people. You have examined the claims of those who say they are apostles but are not. You have discovered they are liars. You have patiently suffered for me without quitting. But I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. Look how far you have fallen. Turn back to me and do the works you did at first. If you don't repent, I will come and remove your lampstand from its place among the churches. But this is in your favour. You hate the evil deeds of the Nicolaitans just as I do. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. To everyone who is victorious, I will give fruit from the tree of life in the paradise of God.
May the Lord speak to us as we spend time in his word. Some of you have probably noticed that I tend to carry this little case around with me. I like to know where it is always. If I put it down, I generally make a mental note of where I've left it. It's rare that I misplace this little case because it contains my keys. Keys to the church, keys to the office. But isn't it annoying when you lose something and you don't know where you've lost it? You go back and you go searching for it. And of course, we always find it in the last place that we look. Be pretty wise to go and look in the last place first, wouldn't it? In Luke chapter 15, Jesus mentions a story about a woman who had 10 pieces of silver and she lost one. He suggests that she would do what we all do when we lose something of value. We go looking for it. She, in this case, he says she would light a candle, she would sweep the whole house diligently until she finds it, and then when she does, she would call her friends and she would say, "Let's have a party because I've found that lost coin, that silver coin, I've found it." We're so very happy when we find the valuable thing that we've lost. Today we're talking about searching diligently for the lost key until it's found. Because I think that the broader church has lost something. I think that Jesus' words to the Ephesian church apply to the church in the West today. Something's missing. Something's not quite right. Something's out of sorts. We have a church with structure, but little power. We have a church with money, but in many cases a church that is spiritually bankrupt. We have a church with talent, but little anointing. We have a church with history, but in some cases seemingly little future. And there are some good things about the church, but have we lost our first love? Jesus said to the church in Ephesus, "I know your deeds, I know your hard work, I know your perseverance." He knows our strengths, he knows our good points, he knows every dollar that's feeding the homeless, every cent propelling mission, he knows. He knows the workings of his people, he knows their patience and how we have waited for his appearing. He knows how we've endeavoured to walk in holiness. He knows those who cannot stand evil. He knows those who have endured, how much patience they've had, and how much we've laboured in his name, that we haven't fainted. that we've continued on in faith. He knows. And it would be great if the passage stopped there. But it doesn't. He then says in verse 4, "Yet I hold this against you, you have forsaken your first love." Jesus says, you've lost something. You've walked away from your first love. You've lost the keys. Why is it that people will walk away from something they need so badly? Why is it that they can know in their heart of hearts that they know that they need the keys yet try to live without them? Why is it that sin is abounding so much so that the love of many is growing cold? Yet for many in the church in the West, we have lost our first love. We've lost the keys. I recall hearing this disturbing story from a Lifeline counsellor. This was soon after the 2011 floods. And during those floods, a young family literally had to swim from their place to the neighbours who were Christians, and having reached there safely, asked if they could help them, to which the Christians refused. They found help a little further along from a well-tattooed bikie, and the mum said to this Lifeline counsellor, "Forget the Christians, give me a bikie any day." Many Christians in the West have lost their first love. They've lost their keys. What are the keys? What do we need keys for? What do they do for us? Well, keys in your pocket or bag grant you a number of things. Grant you security. The keys to your home mean that you have a secure place to go home to. Without our keys, we lock our doors and thereby, with our keys, we lock our doors and thereby prevent the intruder from coming in, from entering freely. We feel safe, we feel secure in our own home, and we sleep peacefully at night. I trust you sleep peacefully at night, knowing that your place is locked. You're safe, you're secure within. Without our keys, we're left vulnerable, open to attack. And so we carefully guard our keys. Our keys also grant us a sense of transportation. My car keys allow me to get from point A to point B. I'm stuck without the keys to my car. I'm stranded or I have to walk. And so my keys afford me safety, security and transportation. Without my keys, my car and my home serve little purpose. If I can't get into my house, I can't drive my car, then I might as well not have them. Now, over the years, I get to chat with many people and of all kinds of situations, issues in their lives. I recall one fellow who came to me and shared how he had succumbed to the trap of the devil and he'd fallen into sin. And I was quite surprised at the time because although he had difficulties in an area of sin in the past, I thought that he was travelling really well. I thought that he was on top of that sin. He had fallen. He'd fallen for this trap that the devil had brought along. And I wondered, what's gone wrong? What happened? Well, as we talked, we discovered what had happened. He'd lost the keys. And the key was time spent with God and in his word and in prayer. He had lost his first love for the Lord. But I don't think this guy's on his own. I think there are many folk in the church today who have lost that key. They're trying to do Christianity without God. They're still coming along to church, perhaps, and may be involved in some groups in the church, but their consistent communication with God has been reduced to just a little trickle. They've lost their first love for the Lord. and the key of communication is all but gone. Are you doing Christianity without God? Has it, or is it, becoming almost like a religion? Just do the right things? And so what do we do if we lose our keys? Well, we go looking for them, don't we? Jesus says in verse 5, he's really saying to the church in Ephesus, go and look for the key. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. Again, when you lose something, you have to go back, you have to retrace your steps, think in your mind, now, where was I? What was I doing? Where may I have left those keys? Whatever I've lost, we go back, we retrace our steps. In the Christian faith and as a church, we have to retrace our steps. We have to do the very same thing that we did at first. And if the key is consistent communication, connection with God, then we have to redevelop that. We have to get the keys back, because without the keys, the enemy has random access to the people of God. See, without the keys, what used to protect us now locks us out of the house. What we used to rely on to defend us, time spent with God, now just serves to judge us. If we forget the key, if we forget our first love, if we fail to spend consistent time with God, then we've been judged already. Eventually, as we harden our hearts to the Lord and we stop spending time with him, he'll stop trying to speak to us. Because we're demonstrating that we don't need to hear from him. We don't want to hear from him. And we think that we know best and we can manage quite well without him. However, when we spend consistent time with God each day, we prevent the intruder from entering freely. Listen to these words from the book of Jeremiah. Words that God speaks to his people, Israel, but words that he speaks to us. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls. But you said, we will not walk in it. I appointed watchmen over you and said, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But you said, we will not listen. Therefore, hear, O nations, observe, O witnesses, what will happen to them. Hear, O earth, I will bring disaster. I am bringing disaster on this people, the fruit of their schemes, because they have not listened to my words and have rejected my laws. I'm bringing disaster on this people. And in the words of Revelation 2, I will remove your lampstand from its place. So remember, take time to think and remember from where you've fallen. Remember how once upon a time you couldn't get enough time with God and in his word. Remember that time? Remember those days and hours spent together in beautiful communication? Remember the way that you used to walk with God and he with you, how that used to be? Consider, have you lost the key? And is it time to repent? Jesus may remove the lampstand from its place. He may no longer seek after you. And you will reap the consequences of your fall, because it is only those who overcome that, Jesus says, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life. Only those who overcome will eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. To repent means so much more than just to say sorry. Repentance is a change of mind or a change of heart, because a change of heart leads to a change of attitude, which leads to a change in behaviour. So a changed life is evident in a turning away from sin to good. If you feel remorse and you say sorry, but you don't have a life change, then you haven't repented. Remember and repent. Turn back. Go back to where you first gave your heart to Jesus. Go back to that place where you first knew him, loved him, spent time with him. Find where you dropped the keys, get them back. Without them, you're out in the cold. You've locked yourself out of the place of safety and security and warmth and peace. If you're feeling like you're in a place where you're not feeling safe and secure and warm and peaceful with God, then is that evidence that you've lost your first love? Remember the height from which you've fallen. Remember and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. And it's all very well to point the finger at the church in the West, point the finger at the Church of Australia, but any change has to start with us as individuals, because you and I are the church. If we want revival, if we want to see the church grow, then it has to start with us, our relationship with God. You know, you and I will never take an interest in non-Christians if we've lost our love for the Lord. It is our love for God that motivates us to love non-Christians. And God has entrusted to us the message of reconciliation. Have we lost our love for our neighbours? Have we lost our love for God? But to the one who overcomes, the one who turns back to God and does what they did at first, when they couldn't find enough time spent with God, then they will eat of the tree of life. Paradise is actually being in God's presence, walking and talking with God moment by moment, day by day. That's paradise. So make prayer, conversing with God, your priority. And then your love for God may return. As you entered today, you were given a bookmark. And I want to introduce you to prayer partners. This bookmark, as you gave in, it's intended that you would write your name and then write the name of two people under your name, at least two. You can write more if you want, but two people who you want to see come into faith in Jesus Christ. And then you also look for one or two, it could be prayer partners or prayer triplets if you like, at least one other person who you can share that with, your name and the names of those that you want to pray for. And they also write their name and at least a couple of people that they would like to see come into faith. To write that on. And you share that with one another. And you become prayer partners or prayer triplet. And you're praying for one another. You're praying that your relationship with the Lord will continue to develop and become as it was when we first gave our heart to the Lord. But you're praying for the lost, praying for those who are unsaved. And so there's some accountability, and you continue to pray for one another and those who don't know the Lord. So I want to encourage you to take that bookmark as a tool through which you can develop prayer partners. So throughout this series on personal evangelism, I want to encourage you to get involved, get into small groups, spend time with God in his word and in prayer. Ask him to change your heart, give you a passion for the lost. To the one who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, Jesus said, which is in the paradise. In the paradise of God. Without the keys, we're vulnerable to attack. But with the keys, God can start the engine. And he can commence a real work of revival. Not only our lives, but in our community. He's entrusted to us the message of reconciliation. So I encourage you to find a prayer partner and get involved in this series that we're going through. Let's take a moment in prayer. Father, we again thank you for your word and thank you for your word to the church at Ephesus. Father, as we look at the church in the West today, in many cases we see that the local church, you could have said these same words that you said to the church at Ephesus to us. And Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit would prompt us to go looking for that key, to put into practice time spent with you in your word and in prayer, that we would make this a daily pursuit, just as Jesus called the people, calls us to do, to go each day into a closet, into a quiet place, to spend time with you. Father, we pray that where that we might have lost our love for you, that would be rekindled and it would come back into flame. Father, would you start revival within us? And then would you commence a revival in our community? We want to see you working in power and the lost being saved. And so we commit ourselves to you afresh. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.